You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Four days of preseason camp are in the books. Arkansas with some big news yesterday, though, as offensive lineman Ricky Stromberg, we reported that he's out with a knee injury. And today we'll talk about that and how that'll affect the Razorbacks. We're also going to take a look at the Razorbacks cornerbacks and nickelbacks as part of our position analysis as we make our way through the preseason. I'm Matt Jones, joined today by Clay Henry, the publisher of Hogs Illustrated, and Scotty Bordelon of WholeHogSports.com. And guys, we'll start with the Stromberg news because that was the big news that came out of Razorback football yesterday. It seems to me, Clay, that on one hand, you look at this as, well, and let's back up and talk about what Tom Murphy reported. It said he's got an MCL injury, that it's not a tear, and that the expectation is that he could be back for the season opener against Rice. So with that said, Clay, it seems to me that you can look at this from a couple of different standpoints. Obviously, you know, it affects his ability to, mesh with this offensive line. But then on the other hand, this is Ricky Stromberg, who we think is, you know, one of their better players on the team, certainly one of their best linemen, if not their best lineman. How do you view this, that he's going to miss most of the preseason potentially with this injury?
Yeah, it's not what you'd call great news. But it's an area where they've got some depth. Ty Clary has started and played a lot of SEC games at center. He's worked there a lot. He should be able to slide over there. What happens is it just takes you down a notch everywhere, you know, across the line. You know, that's one more guy. And you would like to have Ricky get all the conditioning that he could. You'd like but you're going to have to – be able to adjust, and so it's a good exercise in your depth for your O-line. It is an area where I think they have significant depth. It's not a season-ending injury. It's not the end of the road. I don't like it anytime you lose a player before you even get into full padded practices and 3 or 4 weeks of conditioning. He won't be the same when he comes back. It means it's going to be 2-3 games in before he kind of reaches his peak again.
It feels a lot different, Clay, than what, 3 preseasons ago, when they barely had enough offensive linemen to put together, you know, two teams of five. During preseason practice, and that goes back to the depth that you talked about.
Yeah, Matt, that's the growth in the program, and you would expect second year with Sam Pittman that this offensive line would be in better shape to handle an injury. So I guess we're seeing the reality of what Sam Pittman brings to the table in that area of the team. But, yeah, center is Ricky's one of their best players. If he comes back and everything's fine, well, then no problem. But I guess I got to see it to believe it to understand where this team is without Ricky Stromberg.
Scotty Bordelon was at practice yesterday. Scotty, one of the things they did, as Clay mentioned, they put Ty Clary at center, and then they moved Bo Limmer over to right guard. What did you see from the offensive line with the understanding that they're still not in full pads, and so there's only so much you can take away from that position at this point?
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, obviously with any injury, you know, that creates some shuffling going on. So, you know, Bo Limmer was number two at right guard behind Ty Clary. Now Ty, who has some experience at center, I think he's fairly comfortable there. What that injury also does is it brings people back to really critiquing Ty Clary's ability to snap properly. I think that was the instant reaction was like, oh, here we go again. Just, you know, kind of having to be mindful of Ty Clary's snapping ability. But I think it moves Shane Clennon now into, you know, a backup center role. And we got it right guard. You got Ryan Winkle now as your number two, and Terry Wells would be your number three. We got to see, you know, after the first bit of live action that we saw in training camp, you know, the offensive line went against the defensive line and some pass protection type stuff. And, you know, Sam Pittman was just, I think it was kind of a carryover from the live work. The defense really, they won the day. I think each team, you know, got four reps and the defense, I think, really stood out. I think there was maybe one completed pass, and I think there were as many interceptions. I think John Stephen Jones threw an interception late in that work. But I think Sam Pittman's just, I think he, you know, he likes Ricky Stromberg a lot at center. I think he brings a lot of leadership and experience there. And without him now, you're trying to get some new guys, you know, kind of on the same page. And we kind of saw them not on the same page in terms of pass protection and, you know, giving the quarterback some time to make reads and you know, kind of survey the field.
Clay, you wrote about this, I think maybe after the spring, about how they cross-trained last season because of COVID and the potential for players to be knocked out for weeks at a time. And they do that anyway. You know, that's something we've seen on the offensive line for a lot of years, especially when Sam Pittman was here with Brett Bielema. I think we saw a lot of that cross-training between offensive linemen. I think of a guy like Denver Kirkland, for example, between guard and tackle, or Frank Ragnow between center and guard. But I want to go back to Ty Clary, because it seemed to me like last season when the offense turned a corner, if you will, was maybe in the first half at Auburn. And that was when they put Ricky Stromberg in at center and they moved Ty Clary into that guard position. Clay, as far as cross-training Clary now over the next couple of weeks, how do you see that between center and guard and where he fits on this offensive line? Because it seems like the offensive line is better when he's playing guard.
Yeah, I mean, whether it's because Stromberg's at center or Clary's at guard, that was the look that meshed the best. I think we're, you know, a year further down the road, and that might not be as big an issue. You know, I think in speaking of big, they've got some guys that have gained weight. Don't sleep on Terry Wells at guard. You know, he's third team right now, but you know, we'll see what happens another week from now. And if he's, I mean, he was the best player in Arkansas for 2 years, and a lot of people forgotten about him because he committed so early, but he has the makings of a great player. I know folks in Wynn who tell me that he's the real deal, both on and off the field. So don't be surprised if he doesn't make a move there to give them a little better depth at that position. You know, there's a lot to learn in an SEC offensive line, and he played tackle, not guard, but I suspect he'll pick that up pretty quickly. The other part that, you know, and listening to Scotty, and I'm paying attention to his scouting reports or his practice reports, those early 30 minutes that you get to see. What you have to remember this first week is that the defensive line should shine. There is nothing for an offensive lineman to grab hold of to neutralize a defensive lineman right now. They do best when they get fully padded, and they'll reach in and grab that inside of those shoulder pads and neutralize those defensive linemen, and they can't do that right now. There's nothing really to grab hold of except skin. And this is the point in the practice where the defensive line generally looks the best. So maybe shouldn't read too much into what just happened in the last day or two.
Another news item from yesterday is that Sam Carter and Jimmy Smith, the assistant coaches for Arkansas, got pay raises and contract extensions. Both of them now are under 2-year contracts. Carter got a pay raise of $125,000 a year to $350,000, and Jimmy Smith, a $75,000 pay raise to $300,000. These are a couple of assistant coaches that seem like they've been really holding their own in recruiting. And then, Scotty, you see them out on the practice field too. What do you see from them in practice?
Yeah, I guess we talked to those two guys post practice in the first, you know, 4 days of camp, and it's really easy to see why the kids like them so much. I mean, they're full of personality. Both of the guys came to the podium and cracking jokes, and, you know, see big smiles on their face. They're very charismatic, and I think the kids really, really respond to that. And Sam Carter, you're going to know where you stand with him after a rep. You know, what I've mentioned a lot, and I think Tom mentioned it too, the one-on-ones between the defensive backs and receivers in practice. Sam Carter is, you know, he's standing behind the defensive back, you know, just he's watching very intently everything that's happening. And if a DB makes a good play, hey, he's right there telling him, hey, great job. Hey, listen, you can also do this better. If he gets beat, he's going to tell you instantly, you know, what you did wrong. And, you know, Jimmy Smith, he's, you know, he's got some work to do to try to figure out who this number two running back is. Remember, Sam Pittman said that, you know, the surprise, I don't, maybe not a surprise, but the number two running back, if they figure out who that is, and they've got some pretty good options there. I know I wrote about AJ Green yesterday, but if they find that number two, we're going to be talking about him a lot, because they've got to find a solid, you know, maybe complement to Treylon Smith. But I think Jimmy Smith knows what he's doing, and he relates to those kids, and he's in their ear, and they really respond to him. And I think that's the thing. Both Sam Carter and Jimmy Smith, I think, are probably very well deserved pay raises. Those guys are very, very valuable.
Both of them are younger coaches. And Clay, that's the thing that stands out to me about this staff, is you've got some, you know, obviously some older veteran coaches like Sam Pittman. Hard to call Barry Odom old, although, you know, he does have a lot of years of experience. I mean, that he's not even 50 years old yet. This is a really, really young staff, though. I feel like one of the youngest that I've ever seen at Arkansas.
Yeah, I'm 67. So Barry Odom is a mere pup. yeah. So just kind of double back on some of the things that Scotty said. So if you notice what happened last year is that there were five changes on staff. You know, there was a couple of places, Brad Davis and Justin Stepp both went home, so to speak. But there were some, you know, flat out terminations as well. Guys that were moved out to make way for other coaches. So, you know, you kind of notice that. Well, that tells you that Sam Pittman made judgments in his first year of what he had. And he made a judgment that Jimmy Smith and Sam Carter were outstanding recruiters, because that seemed to be the, you know, what do you call the fall line? You stay or you go based on can you recruit and can you coach? If you can recruit, you probably can coach, in Sam's estimation, because it takes the same personality. And when you watch practice, it's pretty clear that these guys can coach. They are the two positions that you get the best athletes on the team. I think, you know, an SEC tailback is the greatest athlete in the world. I mean, you can talk about Messi and Neymar and those type people that play that position. And I think if you look, you know, at the greatest tailbacks that have played in the NFL and college, they're fantastic athletes. And it takes a special guy to coach them. And I have seen that through the years. And it's obvious that Sam Pittman has evaluated that Jimmy Smith is a guy that can both recruit him and coach him. And then Sam Carter, I think he has the great background. If you want to pick out a few places around college football where cornerbacks were really coached at a high level, you'd start with Alabama. And then you might go to TCU right after that. And he's got that, you know, that Gary Patterson background as far as knowing how to play the position and then trained how to coach it. And Barry Odom, I think, is a back-end guy too. So the evaluation, both with Sam and Barry, is that these coaches deserved raises. And I want to tell you, if I got a $100,000 raise, I would probably consider that significant and be very proud of where I'm coaching at.
Yeah, I think all of us would. Scotty, what were some of the other things that stood out to you from Monday's practice? So you've got observations on our site at wholehogsports.com.
Yes, I think it's interesting, you know, with Ty Clary sliding over from right guard to center, you know, that brings Bo Limmer up to right guard. And we saw a little bit of Marcus Henderson over at right tackle. I don't think that's like a huge surprise to anyone. I think there's decent competition there between Marcus Henderson and Dalton Wagner. I think Marcus Henderson's got a chance to be, you know, a pretty good player, could possibly see some quality time at right tackle. You know, in the spring, Sam Pittman talked about a lot, like, Marcus Henderson's versatility. He could be one of those swing players where he could play, you know, either tackle if he's called upon. Dede Edwards, he's kind of a guy in the linebackers room that, you know, maybe doesn't get talked about as much as, you know, probably he would like, obviously, just because you've got some great players in there, Grant and Bumper and Hayden Henry. But Dede Edwards, you know, I think he's better than a third team guy, but, you know, he's taking advantage of the reps that he's getting at third team. And he came away with a pick of John Stephen Jones and got the defense really, really fired up toward the end of that first live period. And then a little bit later during that protection drill, I think one of the quarterbacks was running toward the sideline away from some pressure, and Dede had great pursuit and he got a, you know, kind of a hand clap of approval from Sam Pittman. So I think he's another guy to keep an eye on too, because, you know, I think you feel really good about your top three at linebacker, you know, especially Hayden Henry. He's a good third one to have. He's kind of a throwback old school guy. Doesn't wear gloves. He just tape on his fingers, and he's kind of plays fearlessly, kind of with a reckless abandon. But I think Dede Edwards could probably be, I would probably say that he's probably your fourth guy right now. And I think that's important to figure out.
His all practice again Tuesday afternoon. They have Wednesday off. That'll be their first off day of the preseason, and then full pad practice will begin Thursday. The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Each day over the next 2 weeks on our podcast, we are going to take a deeper look at a position on the Razorbacks football team. And today we're going to look at cornerbacks and nickelbacks. And on Sunday, following day three of preseason, Sam Carter spoke to the media. And here are some highlights from what he had to say.
Before you got here, depth in every position in the secondary was an issue year after year. Now, how do you feel about depth and like how many guys you'd want to play in a game?
And I'm saying me, but it's Coach Odom. He's the DC. But we try to have two safeties, two guys that can rotate, four corners, and two nickels. But right now, I mean, any of our guys can get out there and play right now. We're excited about our group.
Yeah, Sam, what would you say is the pecking order right now? It looks like Monteric and Hudson are out there running. And of course, Greg, looks like they got all of returning guys with starting experiences. What's the pecking order? Maybe ones, twos, threes.
It's funny, man. Everyone's competing. Even Cat, everybody just think Cat's going to come out there and start. Everybody's competing for the number one spot. So right now, Buss, Hud, Dede Bishop, Chase, all the young guys, whoever's performing, that's going to start for us.
How do you feel about the group as a whole? Because it seems like a lot of guys have a lot of experience. How have you seen, I guess it's 3 days in, but how do you think they've progressed since, you know, the end of last season and to spring ball, I guess?
Man, the guys are doing well, but I'm going to really say, man, it's because our receivers. Coach Guyton has those receivers competing every day. They're giving us looks that we didn't get to see last year because we didn't have fall camp. But we're excited, man. Our guys, the confidence that they built last year, they just keep building that and hopefully win some games.
Clay, two of the names that he talked about seemed like quite frequently during his time with the media the other day were Monteric Brown and Greg Brooks. These are a couple of players with a lot of experience. Both obviously were starters a year ago. What do you see right now from that position?
Yeah, I think the thing that jumps out right off the bat is, to me, the ability to lock down one side of the field and a guy to play the slot and pick up backs. And you're talking about Brown and then Brooks. And I think those two guys might be the best two athletic players on this defense. And that's not taking anything away from Jalen Catalan or some of the other guys, but they're the players that can run with SEC type talents. I'm talking about receivers or backs. And if you get a mismatch, I really like those guys, and really the whole depth in the back end. I know you're probably going to get into that in a minute, but Monteric has had the experience. You know, he had an injury last year where he missed a lot of time, and it was in the heart of the season, and I think it really affected this defense. And I think that they slipped during that period to play cover, and that's when you saw them, all right, we're going to rush three and drop eight because we can't lock down anybody on the outside. And it put the defense in a bind when Monteric was out. And if he stays healthy and Greg Brooks stays healthy, now I think they can absorb an injury a little better now, but those are players that will make a difference in this defense.
you know, we mentioned Monterrick Brown, Hudson Clark, Greg Brooks, all of those players made at least seven starts a year ago. Brooks and Brown were eight-game starters. Bob Holt wrote this morning on WholeHogSports.com a position analysis, you know, mentioned some of the new players. Guys like Trent Gordon from Penn State, Chase Lowry, Kewan Parker, Jermaine Hamilton, Jordan, Ja'Cory Turner. Clay, you mentioned numbers on the offensive line, you know, earlier. It seems like numbers are really good in the secondary right now.
I believe that. And when you talk about battles at cornerback, you know, it's been a long time. I've been covering Arkansas just in depth where that's the only team for this is the 30th season in a row. And I don't remember where you said, okay, there's a battle here at cornerback. There's a battle here at cornerback. It's like if you had two corners, they started. There wasn't any preseason camp to figure it out. You know, it's like you look at Orlando Waters in 92. There wasn't anybody challenging him. I mean, there was no one to say, hey, if he gets hurt, hey, we're in trouble because there is no backup. And I think that what we have now is that in some cases they're three deep, and that's a big change for this Arkansas defense where, okay, you can give a guy a rest and you don't fall off the table, you know, as far as depth. And then the same thing, you've got guys that are cross trained. I think Miles Slusher and Malik Chavis, you know, one goes from safety to corner. The other goes from nickel to corner, maybe even to safety. And that hasn't been an option for a defensive coordinator at Arkansas in a long time. So that it's exciting because that's when you're comfortable as a defensive coordinator that your guys aren't going to bust assignments in the back, then you can take some chances that you're not going to turn somebody loose for an 80-yard touchdown pass.
Scotty, you wrote about Greg Brooks the other day, and Sam Carter had some really interesting thoughts about how he'll get text messages from him at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, that he's really taken an ownership of his play in terms of how much time he's spending in film study and things of that nature. Yeah. I think about Greg Brooks last year. I thought he had one of the biggest plays of the year, the interception return early in the game against Mississippi State that helped them break their SEC losing streak. And obviously an important player. What have you seen from him so far through camp?
Yeah, that pick he had against Mississippi State. Sorry, that really set the tone for that game. Gave Arkansas a big shot in the arm early. I think that was what was that Arkansas's first interception return for a touchdown in how long? I mean, it was
I think it had been about 3 years.
Yeah, it had been a while.
I thought it was the first of the century.
It probably feels that way. Probably feels that way for sure. Yeah. Sam Carter spoke really highly of Greg Brooks and his study habits. And we have to remember, I think Sam Carter did a good job reminding people that, you know, he comes from a football family. His, you know, Greg's dad played, you know, college football. He played in the NFL too. So he comes from a football family. And I think he has maybe a little bit of a greater understanding of kind of what it takes to not only be a player, but be like a valuable player and be an asset to a defense. And, you know, I think he kind of reminds me of Hayden Henry just in a nickelback sense. Like he plays fearlessly. Like he's not afraid to stick his nose in there. And I think that's what Sam Carter likes about him, as Sam Pittman likes about him, Barry Odom likes about him too. He started 20 games at nickel. So he's obviously by far your most experienced player there. And kind of just expect him to, you know, he had a good season last year, but I kind of expect him to take another leap. I'm really excited about Greg. And Sam Carter was saying, you know, if he's, as long as he's got his confidence, you know, he can be one of the best DBs in this conference.
Let's move over to Hudson Clark, because that was such an interesting story last year. Obviously came into the Mississippi State game, made the big pass breakup in the end zone late in the game that helped Arkansas preserve the lead in the fourth quarter, had the game against Ole Miss in the game of a lifetime. And then over the back half of the season, seemed like teams really started picking on him more, and he struggled. Clay, what can we expect from Hudson Clark this year? Because the belief is there that, you know, he's probably going to be their day one starter at his position.
Yeah, I think there's still a battle going on there. I think you know, Kerry Johnson could still play there. He's bigger and he's faster, but there's a great, what makes him kind of like a warm, fuzzy blanket is he just doesn't make mistakes. He reads his keys. He's going to be in the right place. If he's got flat, he's going to have flat. If he's got the slant, he's got the slant. If he's playing, you know, deep third, you know, he's going to be there. You might find a matchup where there's an SEC receiver that, you know, that overmatches him with a little bit of speed, but not often. He runs better, better than he did when he first got here. And he also isn't the, you know, the skinny rail that say Scotty Bordelon is. Scotty, I'm just messing with you a little bit, but there was a time when he was the skinniest guy out there and you just look, okay, we're going to pick on that guy. Doesn't always work out too well. He makes plays. He has great hands. And like I say, he's kind of a trusty comfort blanket for Sam Carter and Barry Odom.
I remember talking to Hudson's parents last year, and I remember his dad telling me, you know, quarterbacks like to pick on him because they don't realize how athletic he is. But you throw a jump ball up there, he's got a better chance to go get that 50-50 ball than maybe even a receiver does.
Curry Johnson is playing behind Monteric. It's Day-Day Bishop on that side, right, Scotty?
Yeah. Ladarius Bishop, he was actually the top, you know, when the first team defense rolled out there, Ladarius Bishop, it was his day to run opposite of Busta. But I think that's a really good competition. Like you said, like you don't have these competitions at corner very often. So that you feel pretty good, you know, having at least two guys that you feel pretty comfortable with out there. And Ladarius Bishop, Sam Carter tells him all the time, it's like, look, man, you're the fastest dude out here, but sometimes technique beats speed. And I know Jalen Catalon says that a lot. Remember Jalen Catalon the other day was matched up with TJ Hammonds in the one-on-one. TJ Hammonds, I think you'd give him the speed advantage over Jalen Catalon, but Jalen Catalon's technique can make up for a little bit of that speed that TJ's TJ can run away from him a little bit, but Jalen's, he's right there. So I think maybe Ladarius Bishop's just got to get more, you know, technically sound. I think that may be where Hudson might have an edge on him right now.
Yeah. Then you talk about depth, and you can move Chavis or Slusher out there too. So that, you know, to me, they've got six corners that could play in the SEC, and you know, and maybe seven. Trent Gordon, I guess, would be a seventh one. And so, like, when have you ever been able to rattle off that many names of guys that, okay, these guys have experience and they have, you know, they've got top end ability. Now, I'm not saying, you know, they're, you know, the best that's ever played at Arkansas, but they're solid players, and Arkansas has played with cornerbacks with less ability.
Sometimes you put that ability collectively together, it can make a pretty strong group.
Competition. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, man, I'm sorry.
Go over to WholeHogSports.com today. As I mentioned earlier, Bob Holt has written a position analysis on nickelbacks and cornerbacks. If you want to go a little bit deeper on those two positions. Also, Scotty had a really nice feature yesterday about AJ Green, the running back from Tulsa Union. We'll be back again tomorrow for Clay Henry and Scotty Bordelon and Matt Jones.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.